Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 913, Ami Watkin and Lena McCarthy, co-founders of The Integrated Hustle.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life. Welcome to So Money.
One of the real challenges that ambitious women face is working a lot. And this idea that work has to be kind of not just efficient, but it has to be across expansive amounts of hours and without really allowing for pleasure.
We're talking about the integrated hustle today on So Money. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. Our two guests today, yes, we have two special guests, are the co-founders of a program called Integrated Hustle, which helps women align their personal vision with their professional ambition. So raise your hand if you're out there trying to kill it at work and at home and everywhere else in between. It can be a lot. Right. And this idea of achieving balance is, I think, at this point, something that we all know is impossible. But is there a way to achieve an integrated hustle? Our guests today do think so. Lena McCarthy and Ami Watkin are co-founders of Integrated Hustle. And through their program, they're giving their clients the tools, the emotional support, and a little bit of therapy to help them navigate both the personal and the professional with flying colors. But to get there, there are certain mindsets and certain belief systems that we just have to release. Okay. And I'm as much on this journey as everybody else. I was learning all the way through this interview and I hope you do too. Here is Lena McCarthy and Ami Watkin. Lena McCarthy and Ami Watkin, welcome to So Money.
Thank you.
Well, first, I want to thank you, a belated thank you for a very lovely dinner you hosted several weeks ago in Brooklyn. I got this kind of impromptu invitation to join some spectacular local female entrepreneurs who also are, many of them, you know, running vibrant lives outside of work as mothers and wives and girlfriends and sisters. And the two of you are the masterminds behind this incredible organization called the Integrated Hustle. And this dinner series is part of that. And I just thought, I got to have you on the podcast. I want you to share all the learnings from the women that you're reaching, your own experiences as female entrepreneurs and female leaders, and share all your wisdom with our audience. And so happy we finally got to make this happen. So thank you and welcome.
Thanks so much. It's I'm going to let you go first, Amy.
Thanks so much, Farnoosh. We're thrilled to be here and clearly also share a brain and response time.
Yeah. So let's first talk perhaps about, let's just get it established, the integrated hustle. This is a vital enterprise, as you call it, devoted to educating and empowering women leaders and entrepreneurs that are looking to engage in the holistic work of aligning their personal vision and their professional ambition. I notice you don't use the word balance here. This is intentional.
This is Lena. You know, it's really interesting. We definitely sometimes, you know, we used to refer to work-life balance a lot. And I wish sometimes there was a better way to refer to it. I think partly the way that we like to talk about it is, I just think for so many founders, and probably this is true for, you know, many ambitious women, that conversation of work-life balance, it feels sometimes a little bit like, it feels impossible sometimes to separate our work and our life, because our work is our life. And, you know, and that isn't something I think that we want to feel ashamed of. Certainly, the idea of integration is key. So finding ways to make our work work for us, right? So a way to make our work integrative in our lives so that we have, you know, we can balance, obviously, is so, so key. But I think some of the conversation of balance can feel really challenging when our work is actually something that we love to do.
And what are some of the biggest challenges you're discovering? Like, I'm sure you went into this with already an understanding, a comprehension of some of the top challenges that you wanted to address and support your community around. But what have been some of the things that you didn't really realize were big trip ups?
That's a great question. And this is Ami here. So I think one of the really interesting things that we've encountered is this sort of separation that many women experience between who they are at work versus who they are at home and in other facets of their lives. And so that is why we really focus on integration as a primary piece of our work, because it's in the realization that your strengths and your ambitions and who you are as a human sort of reaches outside of any individual silo of your life. And we really are just one person operating in the world. When those sort of connections start to be made and unlocked, that is where we see real movement and shifts happen for our clients and within our community in terms of what's possible and how to change approaches and actions.
So let's perhaps talk about some of these approaches and actions. Your clients have often said that working with you two is like business therapy. And so whether from your pulling from your own experiences or your clients' experiences, what's an example, a really vivid example of how to live the integrated hustle life?
This is Lena here. You know, one of the ways that we do that is, you know, first of all, it's individuals. So obviously we work with individuals in their own personal integrated hustle. But in general, a lot of the work we do is really about fostering deeper, authentic connection for women in their lives. So, you know, their work, obviously, their greater lives. And we really want women to have, you know, more impact and focus so that they can get the work done so they can really live a more fulfilled life. You know, I think one of the real challenges that ambitious women face is working a lot. And this idea that work has to be kind of, you know, not just efficient, but it has to be across expansive amounts of hours and without really allowing for pleasure. And one of the things we work to do is to really support our clients really living with intention and building awareness around what matters to them and really working to kind of look at how does that work in your day-to-day? How do we actually filter that into the actual life and professional life that you're living?
That's exactly right. And in terms of practical, sort of very specific examples of how we do that, a client I've been working with who's going through a major transition in her business has really sort of unlocked the efficiencies that Lena mentioned by really focusing her intention and sort of keeping an eye on the big tasks that she has to do and letting her intuition lead her a little bit in terms of what she tackles each day and when. So when she's feeling really like in a productive, go-get-em kind of space, she knocks out bigger writing projects. And when she's feeling a bit more creative, she guards some time to work on some creative interest she has outside of the office. And the net effect of that is that she's been completing and finishing some big items that have been hanging open for a long time by sort of tapping into her intuition and really paying attention to how she's feeling on a day-to-day basis.
This sort of reminds me of a book I recently read, and the author was on this show. Have you heard of the book Do Less by Kate Northrup?
Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah.
It's on my list.
I wonder if this could be something to recommend to your community. I just feel like what I'm hearing from you is so much about that first, you know, having to have this intuition, knowing yourself, finding your own rhythm, tapping into that to create that, these efficiencies and these, you know, these more clarity in your work and your approach to work. And what she talks about is actually getting even more primal, which is understanding your female cycle, that every, you know, I guess looking at your cycle as like the four seasons, and every season has there are more efficient things to be doing, more optimal times of the month to be doing certain things. So if you're looking to brainstorm a new idea, you got to do it during this particular week of your cycle. If you're looking to like, if you're feeling, you know, post period, you know, you tend to have a lot more energy. So, you know, there's like actual Mother Nature knew what she was doing when she built the earth and human, you know, condition. And I think that's an interesting thing to maybe parallel pathing that with what you're teaching, I think could be really, really, really instrumental.
Yeah. This is Lena here. Yeah. I love the work that Kate does, because I think she really speaks to, you know, something that Ami and I see with our clients, and like in the events we do and the conversations that we're having so often with, you know, founders and ambitious women, where there's, you know, there's this expectation that often that women will kind of be these workhorses, and that we are expected to work harder and more than our like male colleagues, or and I think, you know, the issue with that is that it really doesn't allow for, you know, women to lead more integrated lives. There's this sense you kind of have to work more and harder. And I just think that's, I'm hoping that conversation changes. And I love the work that like Kate is doing, because it allows for that, right? It talks more about really being attuned to our own personal lives and letting that drive our ambition and work again in tandem with our ambition. Mm-hmm.
So the integrated hustle for the two of you is, for all intents and purposes, kind of a side hustle, right? Because you're both also running businesses or working very much like full time in tandem to this. So Lena, you're an entrepreneur, you're an educator, you're a coach, you're the founder and CEO of Anarchy in a Jar. Love the title.
It's Thank you.
A really fun, successful food company that is available. Where is it available? Can we get the, can we buy this online, or do you have stores?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can buy it from my shop online. You can buy it from Amazon, and you can get it at physical like groceries. It's at a lot of like gourmet food shops around the world, around the country and in the world. There's a few in Canada and Japan too.
And just to clarify, Anarchy in a Jar is a condiments company.
Yep.
Jams and...
Yeah, jam, mustard, chutney, all that kind of good stuff.
Awesome. I'm obsessed with jam. It's kind of an inside joke in my family. Like one year as a gag gift, my mother-in-law got me those like little bon maman, like jelly jams that you get at like hotels. She collects them for me because I have an obsession. I think they're so cute. And then Ami, you are an attorney, and I believe you have your own firm, right? Your own legal practice?
I do. Yes, that's right. And I work with small business owners and creative entrepreneurs to help them navigate the various agreements and engagements that they encounter in building their businesses.
And so I'm curious, as the two of you got together, what was that conversation over wine, perhaps, that that birthed the Integrated Hustle? Like, obviously, you guys, you know, were overlapping in some of your grievances or challenges around just work-life balance. And so what was that? How did that conversation go? What was the aha moment for the two of you?
So this is Lena. So Ami and I have actually known each other for a long time. Just we have mutual friends and probably known each other for over a decade. And I had started teaching a series of classes for people starting small businesses. And for each class, I was doing it as a series. And so for each one, I would invite like experts to come in and, you know, co-teach with me, guest lecturers. And so I invited Ami to come into the, to co-teach the legal aspects of startup with me. And it was a really amazing class. And I was like, It worked. We taught really well together. We just had a really great energy. And so, yeah, we started that conversation. It kind of really happened organically out of that. And both of us, I think we're at a really similar time in our lives and our careers where we both were really looking for to work on a deeper level with people. And it worked really well that we kind of started off really as a project where we were doing more workshops and events, and then we started having private clients as well.
What's been your favorite part of this as you know, have been helping people? What I mean, people always ask me, like, do you feel like you're changing lives? And I'm like, I think so. I mean, it's interesting. You actually work with people in person a lot of the time. So I'm sure that's even more, just more touching. I work often virtually with people, but you know, I love that people write in and they share their feedback with me. It's so great when I do hear from people. But what's been some of the greatest feedback you've gotten?
I think that part of the magic is helping our clients broaden their awareness. And with that, the potential for new opportunities and new avenues. So the most rewarding piece for me is definitely having clients sort of take the blinders off, if you will, and develop hope about what's possible and what they can do and what can be done. And certainly getting to develop a deep relationship with someone throughout the coaching engagement is just a privilege. It's really amazing to partner with our clients and work alongside them as they are exploring their next steps and ways to play bigger and fly higher and be more impactful versions of themselves. That connection piece is just a thrill.
Yeah, this is Lena here. I also really, I absolutely agree with Ami, but I also really love the broader conversation that we have. So it's just really wonderful to have like this just greater relationship to people. So, you know, like the dinner series that you came to, Farnoosh, like it's so awesome to talk to women and have these really open, candid conversations about both like the rewards of our work, but also the challenges that we have to navigate.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/SoMoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/SoMoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/SoMoney.
Well, let's talk about money, as that can also be a reward and a challenge, depending on the day. So obviously, I'm going to guess here that money comes up a lot in your conversations, or at least there are, you know, hues of financial challenges that you can pick up on. What have been some of the topics and issues that you have encountered as you've been helping women through Integrated Hustle?
Yeah, I think that one of the big topics, certainly for really early stage entrepreneurs who are just exploring the space, is really understanding and getting comfortable in working with a budget and forecasting and starting to think about the costs and expenses, and both recognizing some of the bigger costs like legal and if you're going to do brick and mortar real estate, and also getting comfortable with and learning that they can bootstrap a lot of things and actually do things in a pretty lean and scrappy way, which is certainly our preferred pursuit for many things. But you're right. It is really emotional, and it, you know, it brings up a lot of discomfort. And so I would say that for us, the big thing that we help our clients with is sort of stand alongside them to look at these issues with a trusted partner and advisor and someone who's in their corner standing alongside them. It's a lot less scary to have these conversations when you're doing them with a support system.
It's not an unknown fact that, you know, women are a very small group of recipients when it comes to things like venture capital and funding. And I mean, it's like ridiculous. It's like 2.6% of the pie. And it's, we're talking billions of dollars given to startup entrepreneurs every year. And I wonder if part of that, what is really driving that? Is it that there's just a shortage of women out there with ideas? I don't think that's the case. Is it women are not believing in themselves enough to go out there and ask for the money, or don't know how to do it? We don't have the relationships, perhaps. It's a boys' club in many cases. I also have heard from founders that, you know, when they do get into that pitch room as a female, they're facing a lot of times a room full of men who don't necessarily see the value in what they're trying to grow or raise money for. And you know, it's a joke, but it has happened. Sometimes the feedback is, I'm going to go home and talk about this with my wife and see what she thinks, and then I'll get back to you. It's so ridiculous. But I'm curious, what are some of the things that you've heard, or what do you think is happening?
This is Lana here. I think that I think all the above what you're saying. I think that, you know, I think there is this myth out there, and I've heard it actually echoed a lot again, that, of men being like, oh, we totally would invest in women companies. They're just not pitching us. Like, we don't see them. Where are they? You know, I think that some of that is like probably
a lie. Yeah.
True.
I think they don't put their money where their mouth is. I've experienced that. They don't put money where their mouth is a lot of the times. It's nice to say that you're going to, of course you're going to say all the right things, but are you going to do all the right things? That's a whole other thing.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I think is really awesome that's happening is there's like a growing conversation amongst women and a whole bunch of networks developing. And I think that is so, so key. I think it's great that there's organizations that are, that are primarily investing in women, so run by women. There are, places like the Fourth Floor is one that, we have kind of had conversations with as well, who they are really creating these, what they refer to as like closed circuit ecosystems of women, so that they really are creating these conversations so that essentially a boys club, a women's club. So they're creating these ways in which women can have those conversations in a similar way, so that it's a more, like, again, an integrated conversation. Versus women feeling like they have to show up and they already are missing out, or they don't have this back information or this more vital connections that allow them to really, not just start their company. So not just get the money, but actually use that money, right? Like, so it's so much more than that. Being a founder, you're not only just trying to raise money, but you're trying to like actually build a company, which is this dynamic conversation. And it's so, so key that women have that support to get that going off the ground and really grow as well, right?
One of the things that you taught me at that dinner was that the leading cause of failure for a business, especially in the early stages, is legal troubles. And so expand on that a little bit, because I think that's important, especially if you feel like you're doing everything right. A lot of times we don't even know maybe that we're, doing something that is unlawful, because, there's so many rules and regulations, and I don't know, like, I just feel like this is an area that if so many people are tripping up, that there's probably a lack of education. So what are some of the things that you would advise, or one of the cautionary tales?
Yeah. So I think that legal is one of those things that early stage businesses and founders hate dealing with because it's expensive. And what I tell them is, yes, and this is a really good investment in the future of your business, right? Get your company formed right the first time, get your corporate house in order, have a really strong form agreement. You know, we're not talking huge money out of the gate. I mean, it very much depends on the size of the business and the scale and the structure. I mean, there's a nearly endless limit of complexity. But for many early stage businesses, we're talking, $5,000 up front, $5,000 to $10,000, 10 if it's something complicated and you're doing quite a bit of early stage structuring. And it's really important to have an attorney who you trust and who you feel really comfortable working with. And many attorneys who service small and early stage businesses you know, are not all that expensive in the scheme of things. You know, the rate is somewhere around 400-ish an hour. And oftentimes attorneys will offer flat rates. And, you know, a cautionary tale is when founders are early are reluctant to engage attorneys because of the cost or sit on things too long, they get into time crunches and they end up agreeing to things that they really are not happy with or that come back to bite them later. I ran into this earlier in the summer with a client who was sort of slow to engage legal counsel and then was really, really in a time crunch. And we were trying to figure out how we could best help them because I was also in a time crunch on some other things. And, you know, it's not a position you want to be in. You don't want to be super, super pressured in dealing with your negotiations and your documents for big engagements and projects and things like that. So it's really, it's just really critical to engage an attorney. And if you do things right out of the gate, you're going to save yourself a lot of costs and headache down the road.
And just to like back Ami up, this is Lena here. Just, I think, you know, to go back to the previous question for Anuj, these connect to each other, because I really think one of like the reasons that women founders often don't have a stronger structure that sets them up for success is based on the fact that they're afraid to open their mouths or afraid to ask for help. I think that comes, you know, it's a lot of that psychological burden of feeling like they have to do it all alone and have to somehow be like, you know, the martyr for their business. And I think that is just such a fallacy. I think the more you can open your mouth and ask mm-hmm. for help, and the more you can say to people like, I need this, or ask them, what do I need, right? Like having mentors, having people who can really help them, guide them through that process. It's just so, so key. So again, it's all about those networks and really having real authentic connection. Again, which is something that Ami and I really, in all of our work, both with individual coaching clients and, you know, and through our workshops and trainings and, you know, it's all about having those conversations and being open as much as possible and being able to say like, hey, I'm struggling with this or this, or I don't know. We're just saying, I don't know. And that's, you know, a lot about being vulnerable, which is really hard, but it's also so, so key to success.
This question is still on the topic of money and coming to us from our sponsor, Chase. We're asking our guests this month in July, what is something that you practice in your personal financial life that equates to financial security? So as you're, you know, financial planning, as you're planning your finances, what is something that you do that helps you feel more financially secure?
Yeah.
And either one of you can take this as first or however you want to go.
Sure. So this is a me. So I would say for me, it's about having a cushion and a safety net that just sort of helps me sleep at night. And, you know, there's a portion of my bank accounts that's sort of for emergencies only and untouchable for our day-to-day life otherwise. And that for me really brings me a sense of comfort and security in addition to other financial planning.
This is Lena here. And actually, like, to be transparent too, so it's interesting because me and I are in different weight, have I think really different experience in this way, only just because I am married and I have two young children. And so I think those decisions are often a little bit different, although obviously key to like both of us having support. And but for me, I do a few things. First, as an entrepreneur, I save for retirement with a single K plan, which I would recommend to anybody who's.
What is like, it, a single K plan?
A single K, which is similar to a 401k, but it's actually for particularly for entrepreneurs who are running like small companies, small businesses where you don't have the ability to like kind of set up a 401k. And single Ks are great. They just allow you to move money around in a much more advantageous way. So FYI, if you have a financial planner and you are a solo or small business entrepreneur, I highly recommend you talk to your financial planner about that. Two, my husband and I invest jointly with his family across kind of a diverse portfolio. We both worked in the food industry as well. So one of the ways we invest is we actually invest in restaurants and small food businesses.
That is super risky. Sorry.
But you know, we are really calculated with our risks. So we don't just throw it like I wouldn't right. like 100. It's like very
yeah,
small
I would imagine
amount.
You'd have to have you'd have to cast a pretty wide net because I mean you just always hear about restaurants being the number one most likely to fail business.
Yeah, I mean that's true, but I also think then you look at restaurant groups, right? And that is more what we're investing in. But we do it in early stages. So we've just been really lucky, to be honest, too. So that's been kind of a cool like
fantastic.
Way
I love that.
We, you know, some of our funds. Yeah. And then, you know, like we also do little things like, you know, I mean, this is like, I call this like the most boring conversation of people who I'm joking. I'm like, I just turned 40 this year. I'm like, we talk about like our high rewards credit cards now over dinner. I'm like, we're so boring now. But anyway, yes, very much a shout out to your sponsor, Chase. But yes, we have like, you know, a different cards, right, that we use for different high rewards. And that, you know, honestly, we do it. That is like how we travel. We travel using points. And that is something super important to me and my family is travel. You know, me also is just similar. We both are like really into traveling. And one of the ways that I try to do it is smartly. So, you know, we try to like spend very little money when we travel. And we do that through, again, kind of smartly managing our
I think I'm going to do an episode. You're inspiring me on just travel hacks. Like I don't normally do topic driven episodes so much, but I think that given the season and some pretty good travel deals out there, I've just been seeing some of my friends like talk about how they've used all their points for hotels. And it's always the best feeling, you know, when you're on vacation and your hotel bill is like $12 because you use your, you know, your Chase points or whatever. This has been such a fantastic conversation, ladies. What is next for the Integrated Hustle and how can people learn more about discovering you and working with you?
Yeah. So we are going to be continuing the dinner series that you are a part of. So we would encourage everyone to visit our website, integratedhustle.com, and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop about our upcoming events and get to know us a little bit more. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Integrated Hustle. And we are continuing to pursue opportunities and ways to support women as individuals and as founders and leaders of companies by continuing to work with them in pursuit of deeper connection and the pursuit of greater impact and holding personal and professional ambition right alongside one another.
Love it. Get that on a business card right away. That's a lot. But I feel like every word is important there. Thank you so much, Lena and Ami. This has been really a treat for me and I'm sure listeners. Wishing you the most success, the best success this summer and the rest of the year. And would love to have you back when you feel like it, anytime.
Thank you so much, Farnoosh. It's such a good conversation. I love your show and I love that you're having these conversations.
It's been a pleasure and really thrilled to share this with your community and hopefully engage with them further.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much to Lena and Ami for joining us. Their website is integratedhustle.com. Check it out. And they're on Instagram at integratedhustle. Make sure to head over to somoneypodcast.com for all this information, the audio, the transcript, the links, and send me your question for our Friday episodes. You can do so by clicking on Ask Farnoosh while you're visiting the website, or hop over to Instagram, follow me, then direct message me your question, and I will be sure to include it in an upcoming Friday episode. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope your day is so money.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.